Remember years ago, there was an article that came out, a preacher by the name of David Wilkerson. He's with the Lord now, but David Wilkerson is the one who actually, they made the movie about called The Cross and the Switchblade, where he went into New York and he began to witness to the violent street gangs and began to win them to Christ and led some of the members of one of the most violent street gangs there to the Lord. One of those guys was a man by the name of Nicky Cruz, who still today travels the world and preaches the gospel. But David Wilkerson also started a ministry called Teen Challenge. Now they call it Adult and Teen Challenge, where there have been so many ministries modeled now after that of reaching out to people with addictions and helping them, bringing them, getting them healing, and getting them past that. But he wrote an article years ago, and the title of the article was Right Song on the Wrong Side of the Sea. And what that was based on was the fact that God had brought the Israelites out of Egypt and brought them into, you know, across the Red Sea into the place where they actually wandered for quite a while, but trying to get to the Promised Land. He intended for them to get to the Promised Land. But the Bible says that after they crossed that Red Sea and the enemies, they saw their enemies vanquished as the sea closed in on the enemies, they begin to sing a song of praise to God. And there's nothing wrong with praising God after he does something wonderful for you, but what David Wilkerson was bringing out was it was the right song, but it was on the wrong side of the sea. They should have began to praise God before they ever crossed the sea. We have to learn how to praise God in the midst of the trouble, not just wait till after the trouble is over. And even more important, begin to praise, keep an attitude of thanksgiving and praising before we ever get into trouble. So today we're going to talk about the biology of thankfulness. Now, this is something that I began to learn from my pastor. So some of you may or may not know, but Pastor Mike Melay he's a pastor, been pastoring for all these years. He's 77 years old, right at 78 years old now, and been pastoring for many, many years. But he also has several degrees. And he literally has a PhD in psychology and brain science, and he's got all kinds of degrees. But one of the things that he has begun teaching on is what happens to us physically when it comes to thankfulness versus complaining. And so I began to I heard him speaking on that, so I began to do a little research myself. And the truth of the matter is that even the world who doesn't know God now understands and is promoting and talking about the fact that thankfulness affects your body in a good way, and unthankfulness or complaining affects your body in a whole different way. It literally affects your brain. It affects the chemicals of your brain and which chemicals are released. And when we don't do it the right way, we come up with chemical imbalances. We end up with just getting ourselves stuck in all kinds of ruts. So I want to talk about that today, the biology of thankfulness, that it's not just something that God says you need to be thankful. There's a reason God wants us to be thankful. It is literally a scriptural prescription that God gives us. It is his prescription for dealing with things in life. And it's amazing. It really is amazing. And the more I begin to look at this and realize how powerful this is, something so easy, so practical as just simply becoming thankful. So Numbers chapter 11, verse 1 through 3, we're going to start with dealing with complaining first. But it says, and the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. It's interesting it says in the hearing of the Lord, because how many of you know that anytime you complain, you're complaining in the hearing of the Lord. It's not like he doesn't hear it anytime, right? So it says they complained in the hearing of the Lord. In other words, he took note of it. And it says, and when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. Now, we pray for the fire of the Lord. We want the fire of the Lord to come and because I've seen the fire of the Lord heal people. I've seen it burn cancer cells out. You know, I shared the other day about the young man who the Lord told me to pray and call fire into his hamstring that was detached. And right there at that last row, standing against those chairs, I felt that hamstring stretch underneath my hand and reattach itself. And his leg began to move around, and he was saying, "I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that." And he went to the doctor the next day. He sent me a message and said, "This is crazy. The doctor said my hamstring is reattached." And literally his whole entire leg was black and blue, but it was all gone. It was all gone. That doesn't just happen. The Lord told me to call the fire of God into it. So I did that. And when I did that, it was supernaturally, instantly healed in a way that nobody can explain, right? So the fire of God is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. But how many of you know the fire of God can be a destructive thing too, apparently? Because right here, these people don't want it. The fire of God comes down, and it says that the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So the name of that place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. So understand, there is a fire of the Lord which is also judgment. And I think it all depends on which side of a relationship you're on with him or in with him. So Romans chapter 1, verse 21. So the problem was they were complaining. That was the point. Romans 1, 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God. Now, hear me. This says these are people who knew God, but they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is the first clue that ungratefulness, unthankfulness, complaining literally has a physiological effect on us. It affects our brain, and it's our choice. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, it says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self." I find this interesting. We have this long list. Lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. And then right in the middle of that, ungrateful. This is one of the reasons why we teach our kids. You want to teach your kids to be grateful, or your grandkids. Be grateful. Don't allow complaining just to continue on. Don't allow that to happen, because they are literally damaging their own bodies. They're damaging their brains. Unholy, it goes on, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. And then notice what it says, avoid such people. Why do we avoid those people? Because we don't want that to get on us. Amen? Now here's the thing. This is what I've noticed in life. How many of you have been around people who are really thankful, and you understand that you like being around people like that? How many of you like being around grateful people who are thankful? We all do. But the other side of that is, how many of you really want to avoid people who do nothing but complain all the time? We all do, but yet we catch ourselves complaining, right? So we become the people we don't even want to hang around, right? He says, avoid such people. But I find it interesting that in the middle of that list with all of that stuff, and right next to unholy is the word ungrateful, ungrateful. So while we might think of, you know, complaining is just a sign of venting, like, well, I just got to get something off my chest. You know, people do that stuff on Facebook, and the moment I see, I just need to get something off my chest, I'm going away from that. I don't want to listen to all that complaining. The scripture says avoid such people. So while we think that maybe, well, this is a necessity, I'm going to rant, but then rant over. Well, your rant should have been over before you started ranting. Now, here's a problem I have more than anything is I got to be careful not to start complaining about the people who complain too much, because I don't want to have to be just like that. So there is a cost to this. So while we think it's just venting, research, and this is scientific, this is not just Christian people, this is research, worldly research. Are you just agreeing? He's just agreeing. Okay, saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry for complaining. I'm sorry for being such a complainer. But from a mental perspective, the effects of complaining can be so harsh on the brain that it literally wires the brain for negativity. I know people who are very grateful and they're always thankful. Sometimes they say thank you even when you think being thankful for that, right? We used to laugh at Alex, our son Alex, and I think he would do it like a guilt trip kind of thing. I don't know. We would laugh about it because he was a little kid and we feed him lunch. And you would think that we starved him most of the time because he'd go, thank you for letting me eat. Thank you. Thank you for this sandwich. And you would think, the poor kid must never get to eat, you know? But the thing is that it does something physical to us that most people don't realize. It's very harsh on the brain. It's harsh on the blood vessels. It's harsh on the veins and the arteries. It literally causes our blood to become acidic. It's crazy. And it affects us in very terrible ways. The brain is designed to work efficiently, meaning that when we repeat a thought, whether it is negative or positive, the nerve cells form a bridge between each other to expedite the passage of information. So the more we do it, in other words, the more we gripe and complain, the more little bridges are connected, more connections are made on that to where that becomes our natural, our normal. But the more we thank God, the more we're thankful, the more we have a grateful heart, the more those little bridges attach in our brain, and then that becomes the norm. But it all starts with a choice, and only we can make the choice. So as a result, that once all that stuff starts connecting together, the next time you have a similar thought, it's more easily transmitted. So such a kind of mechanism is called neuronal wiring and can become habitual and ingrained over time. I know people, and I'm not saying names, but I know people that literally everything that comes out of their mouth is complaint. If they don't have something to complain about, they'll call something to happen that they can complain about. They constantly sabotage their life. They don't know what else to talk about. And they don't know what to do if they can't complain about something. And so many times they'll complain about things they shouldn't be complaining about. I mean, it's crazy. And when I see people like that, their life is never going good. Never. It's always drama and trauma all the time. And it doesn't have to be that way. If we keep in complaint brain, then it only learns how to complain. If we consistently complain, the brain learns to default to negativity, reinforcing a mindset that focuses on problems rather than solutions. A Stanford study, now again, this is a worldly university. This isn't a Christian university. Their studies show that consistent effects of complaining can cause changes in the brain to actually begin to take place. It literally shrinks what's called the hippocampus in particular, which is a very important part of the brain. It causes it to begin to shrink. Along with the negative brain changes, complaining also causes the release of the stress hormone cortisol. Now, I learned from Pastor Mike that, you got basically cortisol and adrenaline, that those things happen under stressful times. Those things happen maybe in danger, and they're good. God designed them to help you get out of danger. But the problem is that we can put ourselves with a mindset that keeps that flowing in us all the time, and it keeps us angry, or it keeps us depressed, or it keeps us having all kinds of negative feelings instead of releasing what is supposed to be better for us, called serotonin. So there's another chemical called dopamine, and dopamine happens on both sides of this thing. Sometimes people get dopamine releases when they complain because it feels good to them to complain, so they just keep complaining. But at the same time, that same dopamine will also get released if we begin to be thankful, to be grateful, to think about the good things. And listen, we are truly, truly blessed. I'm going to give you examples of that here in a little bit. But the dopamine feels good also when we're thankful. But the difference is it's going to cause serotonin to be released that gives us a much better, the way we feel in life, than cortisol and adrenaline, which keeps us in, survival mode, Yeah, it's a fight or flight kind of thing. So again, all of these things can have long-lasting effects on your mental health, on your thinking ability, and your general health. I had no idea until I heard Pastor Mike talking about this that, you know, they can link most Alzheimer's and dementia and those kind of things. They can link all of those things to the way you think, what you have pondered on, what you have thought about, whether or not you have been thankful or whether you've been a complainer. And people who are constantly thinking on those negative things. This is why the scripture says, think on those things that are lovely, of good report. Why? Because you're literally shaping your brain and those little connections in your brain. Now, again, I grew up knowing that you should be thankful because the Bible says you should be thankful. But I had no idea the way it actually affects us physiologically. So, you know, me and Pastor Cindy kind of have code. And she hadn't called me this in a little while. But usually, if I get into a cycle of negative, if I get into a cycle of complaint, and we're all susceptible to it, if we don't purposely choose to be thankful. But I can tell when I get into that cycle because she calls me Chuck. Well, my name ain't Chuck, my name's Dwayne. But the reason she's saying Chuck is she's talking about Charlie Brown, right? So that's kind of code. That's code. You know, all right, Chuck, right? Yeah, and I'm always saying good grief. I'm always saying good grief when I'm like that. So why does the Bible emphasize thankfulness so much? Well, I want to give you some scriptures here. There are tons of scriptures that deal with this, but I'm going to just give you some where basically we're being commanded to give thanks. And when you realize that this is not just something he said to do because it's a good idea, it is a prescription for a healthy brain and a healthy life. 1 Corinthians 16:8, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. In other words, testify. Don't forget about the things that God has done for you. Psalm 57:9, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. Psalm 86:12, I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Psalm 92:1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Psalm 97:12, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. And I want you to understand something. David is writing these psalms, most of these in the midst of turmoil, most of these in the midst of not an easy life. And by the way, we have no clue how hard life was back then. But he's also a man who was pursued to be killed and everything else. And he's writing these psalms and he's saying, give thanks to the Lord. It's good to give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 100:4, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. He's letting us know, if you're even going to go into his presence, go with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. That's the way we approach God. Most people approach God complaining, not giving thanks. You have to train yourself to do that. And he goes on and says, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So I notice he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise, give thanks to him, bless his name. And then if you can't think of anything, he gives you something. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. If you can't think of anything else to praise him and thank him for that. And by the way, I don't have the scripture up here, but Psalms 103, you'll see where God is dealing with David. And David is dealing with his own soul. And it shows you that three-part being, the spirit, soul, and body, where David, his spirit is rising up to tell his soul to praise the Lord. It was in the midst of a very hard time in his life. And he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And then he begins to ponder and think about all the wonderful things that God has given to his people. Instead of focusing on the negative he was going through, which your soul is always going to want to do, his spirit man rises up and tells his soul, no, you're not going there. You're not going to focus on the negative. You're going to begin to bless the Lord. You're going to thank God because he's been good to you. Amen? And we have to do the same thing. So Ephesians 5:4, let there be no filthiness nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Something dawned on me when I read that. I never realized that filthy talk or foolish talk or crude joking were actually a symptom of being ungrateful. So when that's how people are talking, it just simply means they're ungrateful. He says, but instead, in other words, the opposite of that is thanksgiving. Give thanks. I never really saw that before, but you know, maybe that causes you to kind of step back and go, wait a minute, how have I been talking? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. We should never even approach God to ask him to do anything unless we approach him with thanksgiving. You know why he wants us to do that? Because he wants us, first of all, when I realize how good he has been to me, it makes it easier to believe in faith for him to do what I'm needing him to do, right? So he's saying, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Don't just go to God asking him for a bunch of stuff. Remember that he's been good to you and thank him for it. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, give thanks in all circumstances. So this is the one that just wraps it all up. Give thanks in all circumstances. Man, if I can ever master that one, in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So here's another thing that kind of slaps you in the face. That means that if there's any moment that I'm choosing not, any circumstance that I'm choosing not to give thanks to God in, I've just stepped out of his will. Because he's saying it is his will for us to give thanks in every circumstance. Now, I don't want to expose anybody or make you raise your hand, but just think about it. When's the last time you chose to complain instead of give thanks? When's the last time you stepped out of the will of God? And here's the thing. Stepping out of the will of God is not a safe place to be. So, boy, that's a tall order right there. But you know what? We can do whatever God wants us to do if we'll lean into him. And so if we'll choose to have a grateful heart, a thankful heart, even in every circumstance, can I tell you that I am perfect at that? No, absolutely not. I wish I could stand here and tell you that I've always done this right. I'm telling you that I haven't. But I'm telling you that I'm trying and I'm working on it. And, you know, Pastor Mike used this example. He said they were trying to get somewhere. They were trying to get home and they were in a hurry. And he said the way that they went home, they had a bunch of red lights. And he said, I literally caught every single red light. Anybody ever been there? Every single one. And he said, in every single one, I'd gripe and complain. And he said, finally, Sister Elaine looked at him and said, Mike, why are you complaining about something that was put in place to save your life, to keep you safe? He had never seen it that way, right? So now when he sits at a red light, he's like, thank you, Jesus, for saving my life, right? So thankfulness isn't just polite. It's spiritually powerful. Here's why the Bible emphasizes it. Let me give you several things here. Number one, it shifts our focus from problems to blessings. When I begin to be thankful, first of all, I've got to search for something to be thankful for, so I begin to remember the blessings, right? It puts our focus from the problems to the blessings. Also, it builds faith by remembering those past victories, like I mentioned. Also, it invites God's presence. Look, God's like us. He don't want to hang around a bunch of complainers. We know that from the very first scripture that we read today. God heard all their complaining, and he was not happy. In fact, he was angry. It invites his presence. It also humbles us, reminding us that we're not self-made. So God knows that a thankful heart is a healthy heart. It keeps us grounded and joyful and connected to him, especially in tough times, and we're all going to have tough times. So have you ever felt like your mind was stuck in a loop? I have. And you're replaying what's wrong over and over again, what's missing, maybe even what might go wrong next. And, you know, part of that is because if we've developed a lifestyle of complaining, now all of your, you know, your brain has all these connections in it that keep you stuck. So just over and over again, it replays in your mind. And it's all this negative stuff. And what's going to happen? And again, when that starts happening to me is when I get called Chuck, right? So your mind gets stuck in a loop. It is a deeply human experience. When life feels uncertain or life feels heavy, the nervous system begins to kick in. It shifts into what's called protection mode. Many of us call it survival mode. And muscles begin to get tense. Breath begins to shorten. Thoughts narrow into survival. It's like, you know, instead of thinking about loving someone, you're only thinking about how am I going to get out of this? So you can't really love people when you're in survival mode. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but people that live in survival mode, they're not givers, they're takers. Take, 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 take. And no matter how much they get, it can never be enough. And they're never grateful. Those thoughts narrow into survival, but something powerful happens when we gently interrupt that cycle. And by the way, when we're in survival mode, again, is when that adrenaline begins to pump up, and that cortisol begins to pump up, and that stuff for a prolonged time literally does physical damage to your body. You can literally interrupt that. And this is what's so amazing to me, that you can literally begin to reverse that stuff in your body by simply choosing to be thankful. Isn't that amazing that our Creator God, our brilliant Creator, made our bodies that way? Thankfulness, even in the smallest form, has been shown to regulate the stress response and restore emotional steadiness and begin healing from the inside out. It's more than just a mind shift change. It is a literal biological response. Practicing thankfulness activates key brain regions. It calms the sympathetic nervous system and supports deep rest and recovery. You know, who'd have thought that one of the reasons why people have such a hard time sleeping many times is simply because they're not thankful. Pastor Mike often talks about this, that about sweet sleep, that God intended us to have sweet sleep. So what happens is the ungratefulness, the unthankfulness, the complaining begins to affect all kinds of systems within your body that keeps you from having sleep. So maybe when you're laying there, and then this is what I find. I see people do it all the time. I see a little post on Facebook or whatever. They go, 3 o'clock in the morning and I still can't get to sleep. Maybe you ought to stop and begin to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my life. Thank you for my health. Thank you for the breath in my lungs. Thank you. Begin to focus on those things and let's see what happens. I guarantee you it's going to have some kind of effect on your body that's going to help you to rest better. If you've been, and it also, that thankfulness also, because it causes the sympathetic nervous system to kick in, it doesn't just support deep rest, but it supports recovery for your body as well. If you've been carrying a quiet heaviness, know this, that thankfulness is not a way to deny what's hard, because we all know we go through hard things. It's a way to remember what is still good. Everybody say still good. And it helps the body feel safe enough to begin again. So what happens is, if I begin to focus on what is still good instead of what I think is wrecked, then those chemicals will quiet down and the right chemicals will emerge, and I will begin to feel safe enough to where I can now get started on the right track. Because when we feel unsafe, bad stuff happens. Am I right? I've said this before. I don't like snakes. Don't want anything to do with snakes. I don't. And I warn my kids, because none of them, including my wife, they'll pick up a snake with their hand. They not. And I'm like, I don't even want to touch that thing. And so what do? Well, they'll get some snake and come, hey, look, you know, look here, look, Dad, look, you know. And I warn them. I tell them, I will hurt somebody, not on purpose, but just trying to get away. I will run over somebody, and I don't even have to think about it, right? Because when there's some kind of fear rises up, again, you get into survival mode. You're not thinking about, look out, try not to step on that person next to you. No, you're just trying to go, right? And so, again, you know, when you're in a situation where you feel safe, your body functions the way it's supposed to. All right, number one, I'm going to give you some things about thankfulness that can literally, I mean, it'll change your, not just your mind, but your life. Number one, thankfulness can gently rewire the brain. The brain is constantly changing in response to experience. This ability is called neuroplasticity, and it means that the thoughts and the habits that we repeat become deeply embedded over time. For many cycles of stress and fear become automatic, right? So maybe I need to start thanking God for snakes. Look for something positive. You know, they eat mice. You know, I still don't want to touch one. But I can start at least being thankful for them instead of just wanting them all dead. And I will tell you that I have improved. Pastor Cindy can tell you, used to, if we were driving on the road and a snake just happened to be unfortunate enough to be on that road, that snake was going to die. And I was going to run over it and then back up over it and run over it and then back up over it and run over it again. And I don't do that anymore. So there must be some improvement, right? So for many cycles of stress, of fear become automatic. You don't even think about it. But research shows that thankfulness can help reverse that process. You know, another word for that biblically is a stronghold, a system of thinking, a strategy. The way we live our life where I don't even have to think about it. It says, this is just the way I'm going to react, right? It's called a stronghold. Well, who'd have thunk that just choosing to be thankful more can actually break those strongholds? When we express or reflect on thankfulness, areas of the brain associated with emotional regulation, empathy, and perspective, especially the medial prefrontal cortex, become more active. Over time, this creates stronger neural pathways that support balanced thinking, a sense of safety, and a greater resilience. In simple terms, thankfulness helps train the brain to notice what's steady instead of what's uncertain. When things are uncertain, you all know what I'm talking about. In life, when things are uncertain, it keeps you in survival mode. But when things are steady and you feel much safer, you're going to feel better. You're going to enjoy life more. You know, we have a bridge. We just rebuilt this bridge. It's a little bridge that we have in our yard where it crosses over a little narrow area between a couple little ponds in our yard. And I built that way back when we moved there. But the storm tore it up in 2020, and so it's just been there. It's you know, it kind of tore up. So, and because I was too lazy to walk around the whole pond to get to the other side, I would still use that old rickety bridge. But can I tell you, when I'd walk on that bridge, I was kind of careful, right? I wanted to make sure I was on the solid part. Some of the boards were rotten, but now I just walk right across it like I'm the king of the universe. And I don't have a fear at all. Why? Because it's solid. It's built. It's solid. So the thing is, you know, we have the Lake Charles Bridge in Lake Charles. You know, some people refuse to even drive over that bridge. And when they do, they're under so much fear and anxiety that they just want to get off of it, right? So they're building a new bridge. And right? So, you know, why is that? Because there's an unstable feeling, thinking, you know, I saw pictures of cracks under this thing and so on and so forth. So it affects the way you feel. So thankfulness helps to train the brain to make you feel steady. It shifts the inner narrative from something is wrong to something is still right. And the shift, like for me, I don't have a problem driving over that bridge. I drive over it, you know. I figure the worst that can happen is I get to go to heaven, right? The problem is from the point where the bridge collapses till the point you actually get to go into heaven, that's the point that everybody's worried about, right? You know what I'm talking about? I was telling Pastor Cindy the other day, I said, you know, people that get up on bridges and they jump off bridges, that in itself tells me not just that they're about to take their life, but that they're going to jump off a bridge tells me they're absolutely insane, because there's got to be a better way than jumping off a bridge, right? Right? Actually, there's no better way to kill yourself, but the truth of the matter is, that's a terrifying thing, right? So people going over that bridge are absolutely terrified, so they just don't even go over it at all. They avoid it. And they, you know, I guess if it makes them feel that way, maybe they need to go to use the other bridge. That shift, though, maybe if you're driving over that bridge, maybe you ought to begin to just say, thank you, Jesus, that I have never gone over the edge of this bridge. Thank you, Jesus, that this thing has not collapsed before. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm in a car that I can even drive over the bridge. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that this time across the bridge, we're not running out of gas like me and Pastor Cindy did one time. So let me give you another one. Thankfulness soothes the body's stress response. Chronic stress can quietly wear down the body, contributing to inflammation, weakened immunity, sleep disruption, and even cardiovascular strain. Like I said, literally it causes the blood to become acidic. It begins to eat at your blood vessels. And it causes hardening of the arteries and all these things that lead to things like Alzheimer's and dementia. So thankfulness acts as a natural counterbalance by engaging the parasympathetic nervous system, the branch of the autonomic nervous system responsible for rest, repair, and recovery. Who'd have thought that just being thankful begins to cause your body to heal itself the way God designed it to? Isn't that amazing? Studies have shown that when people practice thankfulness regularly, their cortisol levels decrease, blood pressure lowers, heart rate variability improves, which is a sign of a well-regulated nervous system. The body begins to interpret its environment as less threatening, allowing physiological systems to stabilize. You know, in America, we are the most blessed country I think that has ever existed, yet we have the sickest population mentally as well, the sickest population mentally. And it's amazing to me how that can be. It's because we are so blessed, yet so unthankful. Even something as simple as pausing to reflect on what you're thankful for while breathing slowly can calm the heartbeat and ease tension in the muscles, according to these doctors. You never been in a situation where you're starting to hyperventilate? I mean, you're so upset that and you're breathing hard, you're breathing heavy. I remember when I was a kid, I was hyperventilating. I don't remember the situation, but I do remember somebody coming to me and saying, hey, just slow down, take slower breaths, breathe slowly, breathe deeply. And it was amazing how I went from being in a place of panic to being okay, right? Just simple little things like that. God designed our bodies for that. Well, when you are thankful, it helps you to be able to do those things, right? So when the mind says, you know, the body listens to the mind signals. And when the mind says there is still good here, the body begins to release its grip. All right, number three, thankfulness offers emotional stability in difficult situations. It's often assumed that gratitude is only possible when things are going well. And that is the way most people live their life. When everything's going good, I'm thankful. It's easy to say thank you when everything is good. But research and lived experience suggest the opposite. Thankfulness is not about ignoring pain. It's about finding something meaningful within the pain. It's where those scriptures come alive that what the devil meant for evil, God is going to use for my good. That all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. It makes those things come alive. That even in the bad, there's good. Jesus, the Bible says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So thankfulness is not about ignoring pain. It's about finding something meaningful in it. People who maintain a thankfulness practice tend to report lower levels of depression and anxiety even during adversity. Their brains form stronger connections between areas responsible for emotional regulation and self-awareness, supporting the ability to remain grounded during emotional storms. In other words, you're not freaking out, you're not panicking, making really terrible decisions, and saying really terrible things. Practicing thankfulness doesn't mean pretending everything is okay. It means remembering that even in brokenness, there can still be light. Now, as a Christian and knowing the scripture, we can know we have those kind of promises from God himself. Even in sorrow, there can still be beauty. I mentioned this before, but, you know, after we lost our daughter-in-law in such a terrible, tragic situation, the way that at least I was able to try to keep myself out of falling into some kind of depression is I felt the Lord telling me, focus on his goodness. And I began to, and you guys heard, I began to declare about God's goodness. God's goodness. God is good. God is good. And in the midst of that, I believe because when you begin to focus on the goodness of God instead of what's happening that is tragic, it equalizes everything and it causes your emotions to operate the way they're supposed to. Now, you're still going to have grief. If you don't have grief, you're not normal. God designed us to have grief, but he designed us to grieve in a healthy way. And people who don't grieve in a healthy way, and I've noticed this, people who don't grieve in a healthy way, they get stuck and it will ruin their life. And how do you grieve in an unhealthy way? You refuse to be thankful. There's always something to be thankful for. You know, how many of you ever heard somebody say, well, you know, it could be worse. It is true. It could be worse. It always could be worse. So this perspective allows us to hold pain without becoming consumed by it. If your emotional landscape has felt fragile, thankfulness can offer a gentle reminder that not everything is lost, that some things, good things, do endure. Some things are still whole. Let me give you another one. Thankfulness supports better rest and physical recovery. Now, we talked about this just a while ago, but sleep is not just a luxury. It is a foundational part of our immune system and hormone balance and memory and emotional well-being. People who don't sleep well generally don't feel well. And it begins to affect them in very negative ways. But yet sweet sleep, can come from just simply choosing to be thankful. During times of stress and grief, restful sleep, sometimes it's hard to find. It can be elusive. Thankfulness has been shown, though, to improve sleep quality, reduce insomnia, and increase overall satisfaction with rest. This is because reflecting on positive experiences before sleep helps quiet the brain's alert centers and promote a sense of closure to the day. It creates a mental environment in which the body feels safe to let go. Now, how many of you ever went to sleep stressed out? How many of you could testify to the fact that you generally don't sleep very well when that happens? Sometimes as simple as writing down, I don't know, three small things that you appreciated during the day before bedtime can help ease the transition into sleep, according to these studies. These don't need to be profound. They can be just ordinary moments, just a kind word, a warm meal, a quiet hour of peace, just remembering some good things. You know, when anytime there's a funeral, anytime I do a funeral, one of the things I'm always going to do is I want people to talk about the good memories, always. You know, sometimes those memories, sometimes when it's not been an easy thing, an easy relationship, we forget the good memories. But then in a time like that, when people begin to look for those memories will be there, and those good memories actually bring healing because it calls you to be thankful. When the body hears all is well for now, it rests more deeply. And in that rest, literally your body begins to repair itself. God designed us that way. Number five, thankfulness doesn't have to be grand. What do we mean by that? There's no need to have to write out, you know, a long book of stuff or you know, perfect journals. Thankfulness lives in the small things. It can be found in a moment of, you know, Pastor Cindy loves and always has loved sunrises and sunsets. It can be in a moment like that where, you know, you're looking at this beauty that God created that does something for you, right? And just being thankful for that. It can be found in the fact that you're still breathing after a long day, right? Let me give you some stats. If you have food in your refrigerator or clothes on your back or a roof over your head and a place to sleep, you are richer than, now this is going to sound unbelievable, you are richer than 75% of this world. A refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, a place to sleep. Richer than 75% of this world. We have no idea how blessed we are. That's why I always tell people, every person ought to at least one time in their life take a mission trip, at least one time in their life cross the boundaries of this country and see how other people live, at least one time in your life. It changes the way you look at things. Let me give you some more. If you have any money in the bank or in your wallet, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthiest. Hard to believe. You know why it's hard to believe? Because we complain and we don't have enough all the time, and we have no idea that even the poorest among us is rich compared to most of the world. It's hard to believe. We are in the top 8% if we have money in the bank or in our wallet. If you have spare change in a dish someplace or in your pocket, if you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the million who will not survive this week. If you have never experienced the danger and the loss of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of more than 500 million people in this world today. If you can attend church meetings like this without fear of harassment or arrest or torture or death, you are more blessed than more than 3 billion people in this world. We don't think about those things. We are a blessed people. The point is this, it's not to force positivity, it's to honor what's good that's already present and sometimes overlooked. Thankfulness will not solve every problem, and it won't remove pain or rewrite the past, but it can offer something equally important. It can give you the right perspective. It can give you hope. It can give you stability. It can give you peace in the midst of everything that's going on. It trains the mind to notice what endures. It signals the body to release its tension. It invites rest. It anchors the heart. If you're moving through something difficult, just knowing that you're not alone is something to give thanks for. Realize that a small whisper of thanks for what is still here can change the entire trajectory of your life. Thankfulness turns what we have into enough. I want to say that again. Thankfulness turns what we have that many times we take for granted into enough. Let me say it this way. Thankfulness keeps us out of covetousness. How many times does the Bible say to give thanks? Well, around 73 times directly, but the spirit of thanksgiving is present on nearly every page of the Bible. In good times or hard times, giving thanks to God, his invitation to draw close to him, to remember his faithfulness, and to live with joy. Those are the things that we need to do. Thankfulness is not just a nice idea. It is a spiritual habit. Everybody say habit. It is a spiritual habit that changes everything. You know the old saying about your habits become your character. What if we developed a habit purposely, intentionally, of being thankful people? Imagine what could happen in our lives. We live with joy, true joy, when we choose to be thankful. Thankfulness keeps you from falling into a victim mentality. I want to tell you, a victim mentality doesn't do you any good and never will. A victim mentality will keep you out of repentance. Pastor Cindy preached this message a long time ago. I've referred to it many times, that God didn't die to save victims. He died to save sinners. There will be no victims in heaven, only sinners, people who were sinners who got saved by his grace. See, if I have a victim mentality, I'm always blaming something, whether it be a person or a circumstance or a situation, for my bad choices. If I have a victim mentality. But if I have a thankful mentality, then I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just thanking God that he didn't kill me when I deserved to be killed. Amen? So I want to declare to you today that I am thankful for you. I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful for what God is doing in your life. And I'm thankful that he's turning us from complainers to those who give thanks. Amen. This is so more real to me than it ever has been before. The power of thanksgiving, the power of thankfulness. I am thankful that our nation still has a holiday called Thanksgiving, where at least one day, it should be every day, but at least one day, we're focused on the fact that we're thankful. So why don't we just look, if we need to have a little repentance here, you know, they say come to Jesus meeting. If we need to have a little repentance here, well, let's just do it. Maybe you find that you're one that you've been complaining. Maybe that's kind of been your mindset, and that complaining comes very easy. You know, they use the term pessimist or optimist. Well, it's more than just pessimist versus optimist. It's literally being grateful or ungrateful. So I want to live my life the way God designed it to function. Amen. So why don't we go to him right now? And I'm going to pray, but why don't you just begin to pray too? If you need to repent of having a complaining kind of mentality, a victim mentality, man, get out of that. That keeps people in bondage. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for every person here. I thank you, God, that you are doing something in each one of us, Lord, as we get honest and open before you. Father, I'm asking you to forgive me for all of the complaining I've done in my life. I'm asking you to clean that mess up. I'm asking you, Father, to help me to truly have a heart of thanksgiving and gratefulness. Help me to be the kind of person, Lord, that always considers how good you have been. Lord, I pray for every person in this room, Lord, that you would shift our mentality from that of a victim to that of someone who is victorious because the victor lives in us. Lord, I pray that for each one of us, Lord, instead of complaining about our family situations or complaining about our job situations or complaining about our employer or the employees we work with or whatever the situation, Lord, that we would begin to look for your good in all of this. Lord, that we would truly have a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of gratefulness. Father, and I thank you that as that's happening, that bodies will be healed. I thank you that our mindsets will be changed, that our brains, our minds would be renewed, oh God. I thank you, Father, that health will come back to our bodies, that our arteries and veins and blood vessels will be made clear, that our organs will be strengthened, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, that you will reverse those things that we were headed toward because of our complaining. And I thank you for changing these things, turning these things around. Father, may we start every day and end every day with a heart of thanksgiving to you. Lord, may we always count our blessings and be thankful for them. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.